You are listening to the Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin. To master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Once you walked in a forest of splendor in which everything you did and everything you thought was aligned, it is possible at this time to begin to return to the old knowledge. Intuitive healer and manifester Julia Griffin is here to talk about this unique time in history when all sentient beings, animals, plants, trees, and the earth are intent on creating this change. The wolves awakened her to the most incredible light, which opened gifts and brought knowledge that she longs to share. You are creators, and you are born to be creators of beauty, possibility, and joy. Join Julia on a journey into a beautiful and magical world where amazing possibilities exist. Let us help open the door. The power of inspiration and awakening with Julia Griffin starts right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Julia Griffin, and you're listening to The Power of Inspiration and Awakening on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and learn how you can raise your vibration and find a new and better state of mind. I have a very special guest today, Stephanie Redfeather. We're going to talk about being an empath and these beautiful cards that she made for empaths and how you can use them. Stephanie Redfeather is a divine feminine change agent and a champion of empaths. She is an award-winning bestseller author of the Evolutionary Empath book and empath activation cards, and they are an oracle deck. Her passion is to help sensitive souls break out of energetic jail and fully embrace their soul's evolution as co-creators of new earth consciousness. As a shamanic minister and prolific creator of spiritual tools, Stephanie founded Blue Star Temple, an online resource for spiritual seekers to learn energetic skills, hone their empathic abilities, access spiritual knowledge, and connect with cosmic consciousness. Her specialties include masculine-feminine balance, which is something we're all working on now, connecting with cosmic consciousness, boundaries, energetic hygiene, shamanic consciousness, embodiment, and celestial mysteries. That's a lot. Stephanie's life has been very unusual. We have a lot of creativity, spirituality, and hard science. She earned a bachelor's degree in mathematics and served as an Air Force officer. She holds a master's and doctorate in shamanic studies and is a Mesa carrier in the Pachuki. Is that correct?
Pachacuti.
Okay, thank you. Tradition of Peru. She's a contributing author to the number one bestsellers, Animals, Personal Tales of Encounters with Spirit Animals, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change, and The Ultimate Guide to Self-Healing, Volume 2. You can find her at bluestartemple.org. So welcome, Stephanie.
Thanks, Julia. So happy to be here with you.
Me too. So let's start by asking you, how did you go from mathematics and a career in the Air Force to writing about empaths and cosmic consciousness?
Right. Well, it was one of those dark night of the soul events where you get drug kicking and screaming. It wasn't like I was like, hey, I'm going to do this. I knew in the Air Force, it wasn't my intention to stay in for 20 years. I was going to do it as long as it made sense. And so I started getting kind of this quiet little voice saying, it's time to get out. And it wasn't like, hey, I know what I'm going to do. It's time to get out. It was it's time to get out. Ah, now what am I going to do? And so my financial advisor with the company I'd been with for 10 years said, well, Steph, you're really good with people. Do you want to be a financial advisor? And I was like, okay, because I didn't know how to, you know, make decisions with my heart yet. So the short version is I left that not even 6 months. I lost about $25,000 because I didn't stay in long enough to recoup what I invested. And that, so leaving the military, starting this new career, and then just hating it and leaving it within 6 months really threw me full force into my spiritual awakening. And it's a 5-year period that I've described as living 100 years, you know, just being in the spiritual crucible, just getting cooked down. And when I came out on the other side, that's when I realized that I had some gifts, you know, mm-hmm. that's when I stood up my business, because I realized if I can make somebody else's time in the crucible shorter or less painful and help them understand what's happening, then that's what my heart was leading me to do.
And I think you just made two really important points. There's so many people who say, I want to do what you want to do. But I mean, I was like you, I went kicking and screaming, you know, until there was just no other choice. And it's not really like you choose it. It's more like it chooses you.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Yeah. It's like our souls set it up for us. And we're like, okay, let's see what the human does.
Exactly. So for people who are not familiar with shamanic practices, can you give them an idea of a little bit of what you went through and what you learned?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different ways to kind of explain or define what it means to be a shamanic practitioner. I have two different shamanic teachers I've studied with. One of them is a tradition from Peru, but it really comes down to understanding that at its essence, everything in the world is alive and sentient and conscious and communicating. And so for, you know, in a lot of the indigenous tribes, the native tribes, the shaman or the medicine man or medicine woman, they were the ones that served the community through their ability to connect with the unseen realms, to intuit or know which plant medicines or herbs to give them to help them. You know, they were the seers that could help advise the community about decision making. They oversaw rites of passage and all of those sorts of things. So really, it is, to me, the essence of a shamanic lifestyle is recognizing that we are multidimensional beings. We can move through different layers and levels of consciousness. We can communicate with the unseen realms and subtle forces of nature. And that is, it's just something that felt like coming home when I started consciously studying and practicing shamanic traditions.
And I think it goes, I want to say it in a way that more people can get it more easily. I can hear plants and animals in people. I mean, just as we're talking now, and every single thing is alive. If you want to go and experience more of life, nature is a wonderful place to start.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so then how did you end up writing about empaths? This is so interesting to me. You went from mathematics to empaths.
Yeah. Well, I've been an empath my whole life, but for the first 30 years, I didn't know it, you know, so mm-hmm. I thought everything I was feeling was my own and, you know, thought I was emotionally right. unstable and all of those sorts of things we often get labeled with. But when I was my master's and doctorate in shamanic studies is through one of my teachers, Linda Starwell. She has a university. And so I wrote my thesis. My manuscript was my thesis is what I'm mm-hmm. trying to say, you know, right. And it just, you know, I knew that I wanted to write. I was being compelled to write. There were different subjects. There was another book I had started, and that wasn't the one that it was supposed to be. And so it just, my spirit guides just pointed me in that direction. They're like, this is your first book. This is what you need to write about. And it's a really beautiful, amazing story because Starwolf, at the time, I think had written 7 or 8 books. She's with the publishing house Inner Traditions. And she said, you know, send your proposal to me. So send it to them, but then also send it to me and I'll write a note and send it to them as well. And I was like, great, because I'd already done research. They were already on my list. Like, if it doesn't work out, I've got other publishers I can go to. And they picked it up. Mm-hmm. And so I sent one proposal to one publisher and ended up getting, you know, writing this book, and it won a gold award. It's published in several languages. It's been an amazing journey. And clearly needed, because I think part of what compelled me to write it was when I went through my spiritual awakening, there were no resources. There were no books.
Yeah, I know. I think I had 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say something for people who are listening. Probably if you're listening to this, you're an empath. You probably are. And life is so confusing. until you learn about energy and you learn how you're responding to it. Because you can be in a room where people are upset or angry and you suddenly feel really badly and you think something like, I don't know how to socialize very well, or I don't know what to say, or I hate being around people. And it's not any of those things. It's that you haven't learned how to protect your energy from other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that really is the key. And what I've said in my book is that because of where we are in human consciousness, a lot of times our learning comes through kind of doing it the hard way first, or experiencing the opposite. And so it's like we're an unconscious empath until we're a conscious empath. And when we're in the unconscious state where we don't know we're an empath, we tend to live from the shadow aspects or the unhealthy aspects of our gifts.
Oh, perfectly said. It really is. So if you pick up on a lot of things, or if you think you're intuitive, or whatever you think is going on with you, if you're drawn to this show, her book is a really good book to read. I actually read the whole, most of it yesterday, because I felt like we couldn't really go into the cards unless I understood that aspect of you. And it's really part of that is knowing you have to live life in a different way from other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't, you said something about being crazy, but not crazy, right, or being different. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're not crazy, but you're not normal either.
Yeah. That's it. That's a great thing to say. So we're going to go to break right now, and we'll be back in just a moment, and we're going to look at the cards, and Stephanie will do a reading for us, so stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the air machines, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Grace your space with flair. Dragon art to soothe your soul by Colette Marie Steffen is available now. Colette invested an average of 6 months on each painting. Her piece titled Courage took 3 years to complete. The paintings are printed with the latest technology to best capture the true essence of the paintings. Browse the 64 dragons and dragonflies and order your paintings today at talesfromthevector.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm having a wonderful talk with Stephanie Redfeather about being an empath in this beautiful deck of cards that she's created. She's going to talk to us about the empath activation cards, and we're going to begin with a reading. So stay with us, because I'm sure it's information that everyone can use.
Yeah. So do you want me to dive right into pulling cards, or?
Well, you want to give us just a sentence or two, or four or five sentences about the deck. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to hold up the box, empath activation cards, to be used as a traditional oracle, like you would any other oracle deck, pulling a card, doing a spread. But I also created another overlay so that you could read through the accompanying booklet from start to finish and use this as a self-guided initiation into the mysteries of higher consciousness. So this deck is very high frequency. I prayed over it every day when I sat down to write, when I sat down to paint, so that each person who interacts with these cards receives the highest and best for them. And so I'd like to pull three cards. And what I'm holding as my intention is what information wants to come through for all of the people listening to it, listening to this reading, and taking into account that, you know, it's the early part of 2020, what energies are we working with? So I'm just holding those general themes.
Okay, you said 2020, you mean 2022?
2022. I must okay. Stumbled over there. Over the two. All right. Right. And so the first card that I've pulled is Heart Consciousness. And this is actually my husband's favorite artwork. It's the last one that I painted. And I'm going to do each one individually, kind of talk about the energy of each card, and then look at all three of them and see what the three of them are wanting to say together. So in the book, the messages are somewhat long, like longer than maybe other decks you're used to, but I did that on purpose just because that's what my guides wanted me to do. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I might read just a little bit and then summarize, but there's some messages here that want to come through. So, beloved beauty child, there is consciousness that resides in your heart that provides you immediate and continuous access to your truth. It is time to reconnect with the center of divine revelation. Although your brain is an excellent tool, it is not the prime registry of your feelings, intuition, truth, knowingness, and higher wisdom. And so the gist of this card is really about understanding the balance between the head and the heart. And there's other ways we can say this, the balance between the left brain and the right brain, the balance between the masculine and the feminine. In our culture, we are, for many decades and centuries, we have overvalued, if you will, placed more emphasis on the left brain qualities, the masculine archetypal energies of being very, very linear, direct, straightforward. The masculine energies are about action, so being productive and accomplishing and competition and all of these sorts of things. And we've, I think, falsely slipped into a belief that the mind is everything, that our intellect is the most prized resource that we have. And one of my favorite quotes says, "The mind is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master." And so bringing in the heart consciousness is making space for the right brain, the feminine energies, the intuition, creativity, the softness, feminine energy, feminine energy is about receiving. It is the passive, but not passive in a negative connotation, but the ability to listen, to be still, to receive, to take.
To be receptive.
Exactly.
Be receptive and to hear through the heart, not the mind.
Exactly. And so this heart consciousness card is saying, pay attention to that balance within you. And almost certainly there is information, there is knowingness that you're not fully hearing, that's trying to get your attention. The truth that is in your heart space and the wisdom of yourselves is trying to get your attention, is what I would say. All right. So for the second card, light body expansion.
Oh, wow.
And this is actually one of my favorite.
It's gorgeous. You can feel it when you hold it up. Hold it up again.
Yeah, it's really potent. And so I'll read just a little bit of this one and then say some more. Beloved Earth Child, your multidimensional body is going through a major upgrade, and it is time to make space for integration and renewal. Have you been exhausted, disoriented, unsettled? This is a natural part of the process that occurs when your light body is receiving new coding. Energetic upgrades can occur from many sources, including solar activity, electromagnetic frequencies from other celestial bodies, and a turning on of a particular set of energetic ciphers when right timing has been reached. And so this card really speaks about the intersection of the 3D and the 5D, if you will, that we are at once human beings and spiritual beings, right? The saying of we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so light body expansion is speaking to the times that we're in. We're in a cycle, a grand cycle of ascension of human consciousness and human civilization. And so as these codes are being turned on, as we're being bathed in wake up juice, if you will, it asks of you that you make space and time to allow that to happen. You know, we can't just drop our shoulder and just plow forward, because at some point the body will create a healing crisis to make you sit your butt down. and integrate and heal and rest. And so the more consciously we can engage with these frequencies coming in, the more graceful our awakening will be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And then the third card, this one is Sound Mysteries. I'm already feeling the symbiotic nature of these three cards working together. It's really, really powerful. And so this is card number 32. When great sages and wisdom texts refer to speaking something into existence, it isn't metaphor. At its essence, sound is vibration. It carries frequency. And it has immense and profound influences at both the subtle and gross levels. Sound has the power to change matter. Sound has been used to levitate massive stones, access altered states of consciousness, demolish great edifices, and heal disease. Sound waves are a propagation of force or motion. Thus, the words you think and speak actually structure matter. And so this is, all of these cards together are really speaking to the ascension process that we are in, and understanding sound has so many benefits and so many uses. And I think people are waking up to the subtler impact of sound, but specifically the power of our own sound, right? The resonance of our own voice, the power that it carries, and the energetic frequency of the words that we choose, the thoughts that we think, what we steep ourselves in, and how that really does, one of my teachers says that consciousness structures matter. And so I hear this card saying, pay more attention to the words you speak, the sounds that come out of you, the frequency that you're emanating. And just looking at all three of these together, the heart consciousness, bringing the intuition into balance with the intellect, this is a wee bit of a tangent, but there are so many texts and videos and books out there about manifesting. But many of them start from the masculine principle, if you will, of doing, acting, being in action, and that sort of energy, where manifesting actually begins with the feminine, right? The feminine energy knows intrinsically how to make space for something to grow. And so it's the feminine that brings in that vision, and the masculine energy, the action principle, acts in service to her vision. And so these three cards are bringing some power.
I also think with manifestation, the action steps tend to come later in the process and the way that we do them. And if you're visualizing and meditating correctly, there should be less of them, not more of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much that can be created in the receiving stage, the visualizing stage, the clarifying your intention stage. Yeah, you're exactly right. And then the actions spring forth from that.
Yeah. And you can't, they're not going to work unless you do the other part first. Like, it's way easier to see yourself exercising and love exercising, or thinking that you feel so good when you eat good food before you actually make a physical change, because then your body attunes to it. Mm-hmm. Just a really simple example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, thanks for the opportunity to share these cards. And I'm really, I love Oracle decks. I've used them for years, and I'm always blown away at what comes through.
Well, I wanted to say Oracle cards, tarot, none of that stuff has worked for me for the past decade. Whatever I'm thinking, that's what it says. Whatever I believe is the answer, that's what it shows. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got your cards, I thought, oh, here's another deck that won't work, but I'll do it anyway. And I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what I needed to know. Mm. It's amazing.
I'm that means so much to me. Thank you for that, Julia. I really appreciate it.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, so I've used them twice, And both times it was like a very deep inward message. It wasn't just saying, this is out of balance or think about this. It was saying, okay, you're off your path. Let's go this way for a while.
Beautiful.
So yeah. Thank you so much for that.
You are so welcome. And I hope that other people respond to these just as profoundly.
I'm sure they will. So you were telling me that, and it's also in your book is a true journey that people can take to move through their own spirituality if they desire.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
And there are four different ways of using the cards.
There are. When all of this came together, the 44 cards arranged themselves into four sets of 11, and they became four different initiatory paths, and that's how they're broken out in the accompanying guidebook. And so each path is a little higher in frequency and a little broader in perspective as you move through them.
Mm-hmm. And it's worked with me every time. I've gotten one card from the beginning, one from the middle, and one from the end, no matter how I shuffled them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that part of it is just wonderful. So I'm curious, what made you, did you have like a vision or a desire to create the cards? Is that how they came about?
I actually was ready to do this a year before I did. And it was not my intention to create the artwork. I was, you know, since it was my first deck, I was trying to figure out, but you know, do I find the artist? Does my publisher find the artist? Do I pay the artist? Does the publisher pay the, you know, all of those things to sort out. And I had a reading with my medium and she said, well, Steph, you're supposed to do the artwork.
No wonder you're stuck.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And I am an artist, but I don't lead with that.
Right.
And so as soon as I gave myself permission, then I got the inspiration. And, you know, you may not recognize this if you haven't looked at a lot of the cards, but if you lay them all out, you'll notice that every single card has some combination of circles and or dots.
No, I hadn't noticed that yet.
Mm-hmm. And that specifically came through from my guides, that those are the transmission vehicles, if you will, that these geometric shapes and circles and dots are the sort of the, you know, the activational.
I'm looking
barriers.
At you now. Like there's one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did think with some of these things, they reminded me of the stars at night.
Mm.
You know how you see different patterns in different places? That was one of the things that they made me think of. I thought that's so interesting because it almost feels as though some of these messages are coming from another universe or the Pleiades. That was a real strong impression I had.
Yes, because I have a very strong connection to the celestial realms and they were invited in for the entire process. Yeah. And you'll notice that some of those may look like crop circles. Other things are just, you know, mandalas that I drew, or, you know, the inspiration for the card messages and the artwork just came really from everywhere.
So how long did it take you to do them?
Oh my gosh. I did this in the spring of 2020 from roughly March to June. And mm-hmm. that is when the pandemic had hit. My income had tanked. I had a bunch of in-person things planned and I had to take them all off of the schedule. And I was sort of reeling and I'm like, well, this is probably the right time to do this. Mm-hmm. And so I spent about a little over three months doing nothing but this. I call it a creation bubble. I was in a 3-month creation bubble where I did nothing but paint and write.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. It was
very fast too.
Yeah. And very, you know, like just neck aches from being hunched over, you know, painting or, but it's like, okay, this is how it's supposed to happen. And part of it too was driven by the deadline with my publisher, which I could have pushed forward if I needed to, but my guides, they're like, nope, this is how many cards, this is about how long it would take. And it just worked out.
I think they have a lot of universal secrets in them from what I could tell. I could feel that. Mm-hmm. But one thing that we haven't talked about, and that is that you say that empaths are part of the evolutionary path from this time. I think some people who are listening probably realize we're between the Piscean and the Aquarian age, which is a dispensation of light, the wheels of the universe open. And then there are other times that correspond to other things. What is it, 26,000 year procession of ages? And then you were talking about, I think, Vedic time in your book about the empath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talk about the great year, which is the, some say 24,000, some say 26. There's a reason for the discrepancy, but basically this grand cycle of time. And the Iron Age, Bronze Age, Silver Age, and Golden Age are within that, you know, rise and fall of human consciousness or human civilization. And they line up with the ancient Indian yugas as well. So there's this wisdom comes from multiple cultures. But humanity, we are out of the Iron Age and into the Bronze Age. We are in an ascension process. And so I believe that empaths are here to help humanity ascend to the next level of consciousness. Because, you know, 100 years ago, you were not going to find many empaths. Even 50 years ago, there weren't very many of us. But there are more and more incarnating on a daily basis. And we are the first wave. We are the empathic Big Bang. Mm-hmm. And there's a quote from the movie Moneyball that says, the first guy through the wall always gets bloody. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we're at, right? Those of us that are here right now, we're the first ones through the wall getting bloody.
Right.
We don't have the teachers or the mentors or the you know, extended family structure or society or whatever influences that understood us, that knew how to guide us, that recognized our gifts for what they were. So we're the ones that had to have the really challenging experiences so that we could, you know, in shamanic terms, turn our wound into our medicine. And now we are the way showers. We're the ones cutting the path for the ones coming behind us.
So as we become more aware of who we are and we create tools or find tools to deal with our energy, we're actually putting out that emanation of energy for other people to follow and align with. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a, you know, a concept called a morphic field, which is basically like a field of intelligence that surrounds our planet. And it has, I think of it as, you know, the entry point into the morphic field depends on your particular vibrational level. Whatever you're able to retrieve or connect with is going to be at a similar vibration. And so as we're ascending in consciousness, we're gaining access to this wisdom that has existed, but it's been held in trust, mm-hmm. while humanity hit our lowest point, right? Evolved, if you will, and then, you know, coming out of ignorance into awareness again. And so we are here as part of that process.
So what age did you say we're in the Bronze Age now? Is that correct?
We are out of the Iron Age and several hundred years into the Bronze Age by best estimation. So right. Obviously there's going to be other systems that are going to mark us at a different point, but they pretty much all agree we have turned the corner, if you will. We are in the upward swing.
That's wonderful. And I'm assuming that what you're describing as a morphic field, I always say that when you're in a low vibration, you get lower collective consciousness. You feel negatively about things. You think, oh, why should I try? Or I'm so mad because that person took my parking space, which we know doesn't matter. And when you're in a higher vibration, you start to pick up on the higher collective. Is that similar to what you're saying?
Yeah, I would say yes. You know, and it's these things are acted upon us both inwardly and outwardly. And what I mean by that is, you know, we are changing, we are growing, we can do the work of our own awakening and practices to raise our vibration and to be in a higher state of consciousness. And there's external forces that are compelling that process and helping us as well. So, you know, I kind of laughingly say, we're all ascending. You know, it's your choice if you want to get drug kicking and screaming or if you want to be an active conscious participant in the process.
Right. So I'm thinking ahead a little. So if a lot of people suddenly decided to awaken more or evolve more or develop tools so they're not bothered so much by the outside world, we would hit aspects of the quantum field and we might have a lot more room to create or to feel good things or have other energies come through.
Yeah. And there's, you know, it's kind of like the 100th monkey effect, if you will, that there's a, attraction that's gaining, that, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, that it doesn't take a majority, if you will, of the population to hit a particular frequency for the effect to start rippling outwards.
Yeah, for some reason, it just seems to take a few people, because, I mean, think about spending one day with people who are on a higher vibration and meditating. I mean, it can change your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you allow it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for people who are thinking we need a million people or we need 10,000 people, just let go of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of my cards in the deck is called Shine in Place. And, you know, and it's part of it's written because I know I can get very serious. Like it's my growing edge to be joyful and light because I go, oh, I have this cosmic mission. And, you know, so if I'm sharing this with people, I try to make a point to say, listen, don't feel like, oh my God, I have a cosmic mission. I have to go create a nonprofit. I have to be an advocate. I have to be on a big public stage. And it's like, no, you can just shine in place. Being who you are, where you are, matters. You don't have to contort yourself into something inauthentic or unnatural. You know, being your cosmic mission is just a matter of showing up and holding the light wherever you are.
Right. So, for the empath, you would say start with acceptance of who you are and explore that, and then develop tools to keep energy out that you don't want to absorb.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to recognize that we're still humans. We still live in this 3D world. And so for empaths that are just waking up, usually the first things to attend to are the most practical, going, okay, I'm an empath, now what? Let's see, I have no idea how to say no. I don't know what boundaries are, how to clear my energy field.
Right.
The practical, everyday, rubber hits the road, practices that need to be developed, because, you know, one of the things I talk about in my book is you and I are one, but we are not the same. And what I mean by that is, you know, in the highest level, God consciousness, we're all made of the same creator substance, right?
Right. You can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. But down here, we're different. We have different bodies. We have different values and different experiences and likes and dislikes. And that is okay. It is okay that there is a place where I end and you begin. Mm-hmm. So that can be a bit of a confounding concept to figure out as an empath, because we came into the world blending and merging with everything.
Right.
And so to figure out, wait, I have an edge. I have a sovereign field. I can stay centered in myself. What?
Mm-hmm. And maybe for people who are just beginning, a good way to start with that would be to say, am I gaining energy or losing energy from this?
Mm-hmm.
I still ask myself that all the time.
Yes. I have a similar phrase of, does this feed me or does this drain me?
Right.
Is a great way of looking at it. But yeah, just simple practices of, you know, I find the most potent tool we have for moving energy is our breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to go buy anything. You have breath, will travel. And so
right.
Your breath to clear your field, to tend to your energetic container. There's a lot of ways that we can refine that and use it as a powerful tool.
Right. And really, she has some great exercises on her website under resources to get you started. And I know you have tools they can buy as well. It helps a lot to take a class, watch a video, work with tools for maybe a month, simple ones, just use like one or two things, 5 minutes a day, because it gets you in the habit of being aware of it, I think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Everything is just a matter of creating a habit. And that again takes time. If we keep barreling through our lives the way we always have been, you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. And so we have to, as empaths, value ourselves enough to say, these tools are important. My self-care is important. Maintaining my energetic health is important.
And I know all empaths want to evolve, and learn to feel in a safe way. So all the things we're talking about will get you there if you keep working with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And this may be helpful to some and frustrating to others. There's no one right place to start. So I know there's some people like, what do I do first? What do I do second? What do I do third? Right. That's the linear brain that wants steps. But the sort of non-linear shamanic version is start anywhere because it's all connected.
And sometimes it changes. I mean, sometimes when that energy is off, doing yoga works, breathing works, meditating works. Yes. Other days, none of it works. And I have to come up with a new way of accessing energy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my personal practice has changed multiple times over the years. You know, you can't, it's not like a dial on a stereo. If anybody still has a stereo, you know, where you set the level and then walk away. You know, we have, it's a dynamic interaction.
Right. So let's tell our listeners where you are and where they can find you before we go to break. What is your website?
I am at bluestartemple.org. And the best way to stay in touch with me and what I have coming up is to get on my mailing list. If you're on my homepage, I have a free gift called 11 Self-Care Must-Haves for Empaths, Starseeds, Lightworkers, and Wayshowers. And so that's my gift to you. And you know, through that, you'll find out about programs and books and products and all the good things I have going on.
So everyone who's listening, this is a good way to get started. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about empaths, evolution, and becoming who you really are. And I'll remind you to get these beautiful cards that Stephanie made because they're gorgeous and they work. So let's go to break now.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The Dr. Pat Show.
The Dr. Pat Show.
The Dr. Pat Show.
This is it. The energy of heart to heart, mind to mind, love to love. These are the questions that people have and rarely state. When we have an internal transformation and we see things differently, what does it mean to step into the full nature of being a spiritual being? How am I to be? This is it. Every day, you have to do something outrageously positive. It is so absolutely relevant because what I've seen in humanity, despite what's in the headlines, I'm so struck by the heroes that have come forward. I'm just absolutely in awe. The idea generators and superheroes. All of you, you are the best listening audience in the world, and we are bringing it in 2021.
Hello, everyone. I'm Julia Griffin at onetrueself.com, onetrueself.com, and you're listening to The Power of Inspiration Awakening. We're talking with Stephanie Redfeather about being an empath. You can find Stephanie at bluestartemple.org. For our last segment, we're going to talk about some of the things that empaths go through, that we both went through, and how you can let go of some of those memories, feeling that you're hurt or feeling that you were victimized, you know, so anger and pain. So Stephanie, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned earlier that when we're an unconscious empath, when we don't know that we're sensitive, we tend to live from the unhealthy aspects of our empathic traits. And so most of us are born automatically just feeling everything. It is natural for us to we're energetic sponges. We can feel what everybody else is feeling, whether that's animals, humans, just the energy of a place. And so we don't have another frame of reference to know there's any different way to be. So what often happens then in that natural blending and merging with everything around us is we tend to be codependent. In relationship, it's easy for us to lose ourselves or to defer to the other person or even take on their likes, their habits, their, you know, way of living life. Mm-hmm. We tend to feel everybody else's emotions and think they are our own. And so we can have this experience of feeling either schizophrenic or, you know, manic depressive, like, why are my emotions all over the place? Well, they're not, because they're not yours. You're just feeling whatever you absorb from somebody else. And so, so commonly we experience overwhelm, overstimulation. Our nervous systems are very sensitive. We also have hearts of service. We want to please others. We're naturally wired to tune into others. So sometimes we can be doormats and not stand up for ourselves. So all of these experiences make for a very challenging childhood, adolescent, you know, however long those patterns run. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we could talk about how do you heal those things? How do you overcome those things? But something I learned, I love the way a certain teacher of mine phrased it. And he said, our woundings have set us up to be the perfect agent of our purpose. You know, so all of these disparate experiences, all of these things that were traumatic or painful, when we work to accept them, to heal them, to recognize that at a soul level, we chose these for our soul's healing and growth, we can now take, you know, that we negate the charge that those things carry for us, and we're able to take that as medicine now and teach others. We live from an embodied place of having experienced the opposite, if you will, you know, being codependent, losing ourselves in a relationship, having our awakening, doing our healing work. And now we're able to be in relationship with boundaries and to recognize that we're equal to the other person and we value ourselves and we can ask for what we want and speak our truth. So that's just an example there.
So we move into knowing who we are enough to know if something resonates with us or if it comes from another person. And I was going to say, for years, I would say, I wish I didn't have such a bad temper. And my daughter was about 16. She said, "You don't, Mom." She said, "You just get overwhelmed." And it was like, ding. I was like, I know that's what it is. And so if I get really upset, I say, what is the overwhelm? And it immediately starts to quiet down.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're so spot on that once we can tune into those things, our sensitivity becomes this amazing, refined set of, you know, antennae, if you will, where we can discern the subtlest differences between one thing and another thing, or is this mine or is this not mine, or, you know, oh, this, you know, I'm starting to get overwhelmed, this time for me to go outside, or whatever your method of choice is for coming back into balance.
Yeah. And so what you're saying, and I so agree with you, is there's like this treasury once you start getting through what punches your buttons, understanding what does that and why it's happening, and what you're angry or what you're sad about is really how you come to your inner self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's that process of healing and wholing, you know, coming back into wholeness and inviting those pieces that we banished from the kingdom, if you will, inviting them back in, all the things that we put into the unconscious or shoved into the shadow because we were told that's not right, or little girls don't do that, or, you know, your religion says you're not supposed to feel that way, or, you know, whatever the source is, there, we all have these parts that we just cleaved off and said, you are not acceptable.
Right. You're in the closet. And that's the same part of you that gets overwhelmed, because eventually those pieces start to come out.
Yeah. Yes. They're always seeking expression.
And so if anyone is wondering, yes, we both experienced that type of childhood.
Yeah, for sure.
So all that is pretty wonderful. Is there anything else that you would want empaths to know, or anything else that you want to say about your book or your cards?
Yeah, I just like to kind of complete the conversation by saying, you know, if you're sitting with this idea of, wow, I'm an empath, I'm here on purpose, I have this cosmic mission, and that feels like really heavy to you, or what do I do, or oh my God, you know, what does that mean? Do I have to change jobs? Do I have to move? Is to remember that you don't have to do anything unnatural. You don't have to contort yourself. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't mean you have to do something outside of who you are. Showing up, being your authentic self, where you are in your life, in your everyday life, and holding the light, that is it. That is the cosmic mission.
That's what I say, is bring in love and light and learn how to extend love and light to people you care about. From there, learn to send it to the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's no hurry. Just start with love and light and emanating it around you.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, Gandhi's quote that everyone loves, be the change you wish to see in the world. It starts with you. It can only start with you.
You've said so many beautiful, insightful things, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you for your wisdom.
Thank you.
Would you tell everyone again where they can find you? And if you have any classes or anything else coming up.
Yeah, I'm always creating something. So the best way to stay in touch with me, go to my website, which is bluestartemple.org. And on my homepage, I have a free gift for you. It's called 11 Self-Care Must-Haves for Empaths, Lightworkers, Starseeds, and Wayshowers. And it will get you on my mailing list. And so I communicate with my tribe quite frequently. So you'll find out about programs and workshops that I have, new products. I write a lot of articles. Something that people on my newsletter get that nobody else does is an extra column, if you will, called Earth Stewardship. And so I share information about that. I also have an empath Facebook group if you're so inclined to be on social media.
Thank you. So wonderful having you, Stephanie. I really appreciate it. Stephanie Redfeather, you can go and find her, gain more knowledge. And if you want to find me, it's Julia Griffin at onetrueself.com, onetrueself.com. Sign up for my newsletter. I have the same thing she does. You get information you don't get anywhere else. And please come back and see me next time at Transformation Talk Radio. On the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month at 12 noon Eastern, 11 Central, and 9 a.m. Pacific. Thank you so much for being with me. Namaste.
Perfect. That's a wrap.
Okay, good. That was so much fun, Stephanie. Thank you.
It was, Julia. Thank you. And I just want to say again how much it means to me, your experience with my cards.
It was huge. Yeah, I want to say before we go, it was really interesting because one was remember, and I thought, well, what have I forgotten? And then I got Orion, and that was a shamanic place I went to where all my abilities like doubled with ceremonies in one night in the middle of nowhere. And then the last one was Catechus, and I thought, oh, that's about putting that all together in my reality and awakening that again. But I mean, it was so specific.
That's beautiful.
I mean, really, I mean, because it didn't just say remember, it said what to remember and then what to do with it. Mm-hmm. I think that's just profound. So thank you so much for the gift you gave to all of us.
Thank you. And if it's meaningful to you or anybody else that you talk to, all of those images are for sale on my website.
Okay. Thank you. They're gorgeous.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Join us next time as Julia takes us deeper into the memory of the moments of light where transcendence and enlightenment emerge. The memory of the Jewel of Consciousness has always lived within you to tap into waves of energy and create huge changes by imagining the beauty of the vision and desires that are hidden in the heart. Learn to find your way back to nature, beauty, and your own heart, which holds the secrets of your existence and future. To discover more about Julia's adventures, animal communication, and the teachings she brings to every show, visit onetrueself.com. That's onetrueself.com. That's O-N-E, trueself.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.